Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is no longer dead in a tomb, but he is risen just as he said. Now, truth be told, most of you have heard this before. So when you gather here this morning, it's not a shock or a surprise to any of you. You expect to hear that Jesus is not in the tomb where he was laid on Good Friday. But what about the women that first Easter? They had fully expected to find Jesus where he was hastily buried that Friday afternoon. They expected to see Jesus in the tomb, dead, the stone sealing its entrance, and the two guards standing on either side of it. That's what they expected to see. But while they expected Jesus to still be in the tomb, I imagine that there were some things going on in their hearts and their minds, some questions as they were heading there, deep and dark questions about what one can expect from God. Questions about God's presence in the midst of suffering in this world and his power to do anything about it. Now, truth be told, it's not a new question. Likely you yourself have asked a question like it. Where is God? Where is God? Maybe you ask that when your spouse, your grandparent, child, or best friend was suffering. Or maybe you ask that question in the midst of your own suffering. The prayers were said in church, they were sent out on the prayer chain, shared on social media. But because there seemed to be no answer, no help, no healing, no change, then you felt that you were left without hope. And you figured perhaps that God had left you or even forsaken you. Or worse, concluded that he wasn't even there to begin with. That he wasn't there to begin with. That is a lonely and a depressing thought. But that's the way it can feel in the midst of suffering. That's the way it can feel when you're pouring out your heart and your soul and there doesn't seem to be any sort of answer. And what proof do you have to convince you that he is near to hear you? Well, if you check the news feeds, you might get the impression that God completely is absent, indifferent, or even non-existent. The problem of suffering is global in proportions. Wars that leave you asking what the purpose is, political discord here at home and abroad, children being killed in schools and even in clinics, foreboding over rising sea levels, concerns over severe storms, things like earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. There are countless people suffering and dying each and every day. And from the looks of it, God is absent. From the evidence, it looks like there is just nothing but chaos. And from our own experiences, we have nothing but questions, serious questions. Where is God? After the Sabbath, on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. They were going to the tomb of Jesus. There wasn't the modern news feed or social media, but they had seen 3 days ago that there were at least three deaths. Jesus and the two criminals he was crucified between, they had all died. The women were there. They were looking on from a distance. They had witnessed firsthand the suffering. They had seen the bloody, mangled mess of a man hanging from a Roman cross. No doubt there were prayers that were offered that day. But perhaps the most profound prayer came not from the wailing women, but from the loud voice of Jesus on the cross about the ninth hour, when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, where are you? The women had witnessed the sky go dark for 3 hours before this prayer. They had felt the tremors of the earth as the creation convulsed and as rocks were cleaved. Then they heard the answer, but it wasn't from God, and it seemed far too late. It came from the centurion, one of the Roman soldiers keeping watch, who exclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." With their own eyes, these women saw before them God crucified and died. The women watched as Joseph, a disciple from Arimathea, petitioned Pilate for the corpse of Jesus. They sat across from the tomb and watched as Jesus was laid to rest. Where is God? If they could have put it into their own words that day, they would have looked at the tomb and pointed and said, "There." The Sabbath was a day of rest. Undoubtedly, the women passed that day in part or in whole in prayer. Though perhaps that day their prayers were unspoken, with groaning and weeping, unsure of what to pray for, or even at this point, who to pray to. And then on the third day since the crucifixion, the women went to the place they expected to see Jesus, the apparent Son of God. They went back to the tomb. But here they saw the strangest sight. The earth convulsed again, and an angel from heaven descended and rolled the stone away from the tomb and perched there on top of it. The guards that were requested by the chief priests and the Pharisees, they fell down to the ground and were like dead men. The angel addressed the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." "No, dear women, he is not here. God is not here. Jesus, the Son of God, is no longer dead." Yes, this is where he was. This is, in fact, the same tomb that you saw him laid in. But he's not here. He sent me to tell you that he will meet you in Galilee. There you will see him. And then to confirm that this angel was from the Lord, Jesus himself, in the raised flesh, appeared to the women. They clasped his nail-scarred feet and fell down and worshiped him, for he is God. And as they worshiped, Jesus spoke again, promising to meet his disciples in Galilee. Where is God? Well, the witness of the scriptures point us to the fact that he is where he said he would be. And his word is promise. He said that he would undo the curse of sin and death and put creation to rights. He said that he would bring about salvation in the flesh of mankind. He said that he would rescue and deliver his people from the kingdom of Satan. He said that he would suffer, die, only to rise again on the third day. No, dear friends, in Christ, God has not left nor forsaken his creation, nor has he left or forsaken you. He is not indifferent, and he certainly is not absent. He is not weak or powerless to hear or to help. He descended from heaven and took up our flesh so that by his death and his resurrection he might redeem you and all of creation from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. This is the word of the Lord that is recorded for you and for me in the Holy Scriptures. And his word is promise. Where is God? Well, he is where he said he would be. We should not be surprised to hear that he actually then did go ahead of his disciples and meet them in Galilee. And at this meeting on the mountain, Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And then a wonderful promise. "Behold, I am with you always, to the very end of this age." Where is Jesus? Well, he has met you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, not on the mountain in Galilee, but in the waters of your baptism, which he commanded from that mountain in Galilee. For in your baptism, you have been united with Christ's death and his resurrection. The death that he died on the cross, he died to sin once and for all. That means your sin is atoned for. You are his and he is yours. He has spoken, and this is an unbreakable promise. He is with you in baptism, just where he said he would be. Where is Jesus? Well, he comes to you as you are taught by his word. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there," Jesus said and promised, "I am with you." Where is Jesus? He is here. In the supper that he has instituted for the forgiveness of your sins, he said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And so he promised to be present with you as you eat and drink for your forgiveness and your salvation. Where is Jesus? Well, he has promised to be with his creation in word and sacrament, always, to the end of this age, even and especially in the midst of your sufferings. But take heart, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because this current age with its sufferings is passing away. When the new age is ushered in at our Lord's glorious return, his baptismal promises to you will have been ultimately fulfilled. Remember, you have been crucified with Christ in your baptism, and you will be raised with Christ at his coming. As you have dined in the presence of Christ and with the saints in the sacrament of the altar, remember that this divine morsel is also still yet a foretaste of the feast that is yet to come. At his return, which he has promised, you will dine with the Lord and all the saints in company of heaven, and you will see them in the resurrected flesh. Then there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more wars, no more violence. The heavens and the earth will be made new. No more fires, earthquakes, and eruptions. There will be no depression, no more loneliness. Suffering will be done with. Sin and death will be no more. Satan locked away forever. Why? Because our Lord has promised. Because Jesus has suffered, he has died, and he has defeated death and the grave for you. Until that day, dear friends in Christ, look not to worldly signs around us to see where God is. Look not even to your own experiences found in suffering as evidence that God perhaps has left or forsaken you. No. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ, in his word and his sacraments. Look to the empty tomb as evidence that the Lord always keeps his word of promise. Look to where the Lord has promised to be. His word assures you that he will be found just where he promised. Hear and believe. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen.